In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman. Wonder Woman. Batman. Aquaman. And those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 52. Yes, 52. Hanging with the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
We have a very special guest here. We have three of the Legion of Substitute Podcasters joining us today. This is our first official interview episode, sort of, maybe.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, please go ahead.
Hello.
No. What? You there, Caleb?
Yeah, I'm getting echo.
Oh, okay.
Echo.
All right. Did you have something to say?
No, I was just gonna say welcome, then I'll shut up.
Yes, welcome. Thank you for joining us this early.
Is early. What the hell?
You so owe us.
Yeah, yes. I do. Don't worry. All right, go ahead and if you would all introduce yourselves for those people that may not have listened to your podcast. I do mention you frequently on here, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So All right, well, I'm Paul French, and this morning I am Coffee Kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I went first because I knew everyone else would want to grab
Damn
that
you.
Name. So.
Damn you!
I'm me. I'm not a coffee guy.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, neither am I, really.
And I'm Darren Noel, and I'm Aaron Boy, because I've got errands to do once we wrap this sucker up, so let's get going.
All right, let's go.
And I'm Scott Coles. I'll be beer boy.
Oh,
it's $12 somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it should be noted that Chris and I met on your forum board.
Yes.
It was very active pre-Facebook activity time.
Yeah.
And also met Murray there as well. So
yes. And a bromance was born.
Yes.
Back when you guys were Rainbow Cloak, Filth and McMucky, and Paul French. And of course, the missing Darth.
Paul. See the sweetness of Paul's online handle is the anonymity of it.
Yes. It's very cryptic.
Paul.
Hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
Hide in plain sight, exactly.
That's a good point. Very good point.
And of course, the missing Darth Kramer, Matt Kramer, to those who know and love him.
Yes, once again, he's in a mission in deep space.
Always with the missions in deep space, that guy. He can't get enough of deep space. He just plunge right in there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, well.
Sarah. Anyway.
Well, I think it best if start at the very beginning, a very good place to start.
Yes.
Many years ago, 199 and a half episodes ago, Paul, you were sitting staring at peeling paint and decided to do a podcast, or what was the true and honest to God story?
Well, again, as with many things, it all starts on the forum. And Darren had just put a post up, just basically, I think at the time, I'm not even sure sort of where things were at continuity-wise. I think it was well after the Lightning Saga. But at any rate, Darren had posted something just sort of explaining to some people who some of the Legionnaires were and what they do. And so Matt said, you know, someone should, you know, Darren should do a Legion podcast.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes, he should. And I said, and I can either be sitting there listening to it or I can be part of it. So I immediately messaged both of them and said, that's a great idea. I'm in. And so we kind of, you know, sat down and you know, talked over the Skype and figured out, you know, what are we going to call ourselves and all that sort of thing. And then it was a matter of, okay, let's start. And we were kind of figuring out what the format would be. And it's funny, I was listening to the first episode the other day, and it's, you know, a lot of the format was already set.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you listen to that first episode. Now, the only thing is, in that first episode, we don't have Legion names.
Ah.
And,
for you.
Yeah, I think we had that done by episode two, but I actually thought it was something we'd all talked about before that, but we hadn't. And so we just kind of introduce ourselves and then barrel right into it.
Yep. So you didn't have name cards sitting in front of you with bubbles on your head and stuff?
Exactly. No jetpacks. No. Okay.
No jetpacks. Sad.
Yeah.
And no me.
Yeah. And no Scott. Exactly.
And no Scott. But you had somebody else with you for a while, right?
Yeah, we had Rick Croxton, who also does the Book Cave podcast. And so Rick was with us, I think, for the first 40 or so episodes. And then he just got really busy with doing the Book Cave stuff. And Scott had basically, he'd been on the show a couple of times, and he said, you know, I'm usually just hanging out on Sunday night. So if you ever need an extra, just give me a shout. So we figured we had dragged him into enough episodes that we would make it official. And so we did. There was even a,
an official letter inducting.
That's right. You know, like the Justice League hereby elects.
Oh, that's,
you know,
that right. Thing? I do remember actually, that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did one up for Scott. So it was made official for real.
That's funny.
It's hanging on the wall in the Monkey Cave right now.
Oh, nice. Right. That's nice. Cool.
That's sweet. That's so sweet.
You know, oh, damn it! You're gonna make me cry.
Because I remember us, we were texting back and forth about it. It would have been actually when Ella was born, because I was in the hospital at the time, and we're texting back and forth. And it's like, all right, so we all in with bringing Scott in, and everyone was in agreement. And well, you know, after we twisted Darren's arm,
he was prejudiced against me, but
Orange is not a good color for anyone except you, darling.
So, that's when we made it official. So that would have been just over 3 years ago.
Mm. Wow.
See, that's funny. I mean, you mentioned your daughter, and it's like, when you said that, and I saw something on Facebook, like, oh, her third birthday, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, have I really been listening to these guys for, like, I guess it would be 4 years, because I was just listening about to almost a year before your kid was born. It's like,
Well, 52 episodes a year,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and we're about to do 200. So,
yeah.
So another what, 8?
And we'll be at year number 4. Is it?
Wow, that's great.
God, I didn't. Thinking about it, I really was listening to maybe in the single digits, maybe into the teens is when I started. But wow,
yeah.
I'm cool. Pretty sure I was there on day one.
You were. You were the first person to post something about our show.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Because I remember you, you put a post on the Tales from the Long Box site when it was just a website.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or it was a podcast. Because people think it's a coincidence that you're doing your one-year anniversary episode on the same day that we're doing our 200th episode. But really, we had this planned from the very beginning.
Yes.
You kind of love it when a plan comes together.
Absolutely.
All those, all that planning has finally come to
fruition.
Yes.
To fruition. Yes.
I was thinking
you even had to do that extra episode in there, the April Fool's episode, just to fit it in.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the April Fool's episode was extra. We did that midweek, because that was when the first time that we were at Super Show.
Oh, that's right.
And so I think our episode came out on the Monday, and then on the Wednesday the Suicide Squad episode dropped, and so it was really extra. There has been an official Legion of Substitute Podcasters episode every week for the last 199 weeks thus far.
That is great. Yeah, we almost missed one, but we. Murray and I pulled in the middle of the week and did one, but we've been every week too. So very proud of that.
Unlike those guys at DC. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What? How dare you, sir?
Yeah, they're starting to slip, aren't they?
Not that I've seen.
Well, I have to tell you guys, though, I've all this time, I've really enjoyed you guys' podcast, and it's great to have you on here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say great yet.
Well, okay.
It's okay.
Let's see how it comes.
Let me finish my first beer, and then we'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk, yeah.
I think I'm on my second diet.
Donkey has to be properly lubricated to...
Well, don't we all? Don't we all?
Okay. Look at time. Wow.
Just heard all comic careers all of a sudden. What's going on?
Oh, Stevie D, get him in on this. Oh wait, yeah. he's not awake yet either.
I was going to say
this is way too freaking early for us.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm the only one who's up at like 7 o'clock for 7 o'clock in this, and everyone else is bitching about how early it is. It's okay.
I'm usually up, but I'm not usually...
functional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the dogs come in, and now that I'm sleeping on the couch, they come in and give me a nice good morning lick, and I have to let them out.
Okay.
Go to the bathroom and then feed them, and then maybe I get back to sleep. So that's usually how it is around here. Probably more info than
the title of the episode keeps changing.
Yes, it does. Yes.
It really does.
Secret revelations Jiggle. That you didn't want to hear.
What's funny is that Mosby's morning and my morning is rather similar in different ways. So
I knew I shouldn't have said that, but oh well.
Jiggle morning lick.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's some obvious highlights in the to my listening time with you guys.
I do not have highlights, sir. Okay.
You don't have highlights.
It's all natural, baby.
Accidental highlights. That's just the picture.
Upstairs and downstairs.
I'm having something about Mary Morning. So
you don't have enough hair for that, Darren.
Oh man,
a little tiny shampoo horn.
Hey, don't say tiny and horn in the same sentence.
Oh, sorry.
those are the words that you're offended at?
That's where he draws the line.
I draw many lines, sir, and then I erase them and redraw them at my convenience, so don't worry.
Pretty much like the Republican Party, then.
In some ways, yes. Yeah.
All right, then. Hey, see, I got the politics in there.
There you go. So what are you saying, Caleb?
Oh God, I have no idea. No. I was just gonna say some of the highlights. I mean, I think a huge one was when you had the Levitts on for the first time.
Oh yeah, I was impressed. I really was.
You know, it was.
You weren't the only one impressed.
Yeah, I can't speak for the others, but I was nervous as hell.
I bet.
Because when we interview Paul Levitts both times, we couldn't do like our usual Sunday night thing. So we actually, definitely for the first one, maybe for the second, Darren was actually at work. And,
yeah, I remember that.
And so we...
my boss hanging over me, by the way, giving me instructions on how to do my job, which I've done for 5 years.
as daytime recordings. Mm-hmm. And so the first one, you know, like... That was maybe our third interview or something like that?
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because our first was Tony Bedard and our second was Francis Manapul. That was sort of where we were still kind of finding our feet as far as interviews go. So for the first few, we actually would have like a list of questions.
Yeah.
And so we'd all be going through and kind of mentally crossing the questions off. But the problem with that is it doesn't, you know, that kind of format doesn't really allow for a follow-up question. Mm. And that was something that we learned when we did the Francis Manapul interview, because it was like, throw the list out. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that one, Francis talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great interview.
And so you see that ended up being more the thing is let's have a conversation with them, and sometimes that sort of leads you to something that still sounds kind of question-listy. Mm-hmm. But other times it leads to you know, real genuine conversation. And I feel that the second time we had Paul Levitz on, we were that much more comfortable. We had talked to him before, and
more relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. So we felt more comfortable, kind of goofing with him, and so yeah, it was a much more comfortable feeling.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And I'm glad that we learned that sort of technique for doing interviews early on, mm-hmm. because it has made for some great things like talking with Scott Koblish and certainly the Steve Lytle interview that we did a little while back. And
yeah, that was good. Now, one of my favorites is the Mark Waid one. I think I've listened to that like 3 times.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah, but Mark wasn't really an interview.
Oh, it wasn't?
We asked a question, for an hour.
But I really enjoyed that.
Prepared remarks, I think.
he told a lot about his process, and he's one of my favorite writers, and I really enjoyed that.
So. Yeah, and that's something we always try to get into with a lot of these guys, is just sort of how they go about doing what they do. And that can be something as simple as Scott Koblish talking about how when he gets an artist's pencils, he gives some thought as to what approach he's going to take. You know, is he going to use a brush? Is he going to use a quill pen? Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And that's great for people who are getting into art, so they can learn a bit about that kind of technique. Yeah. And it's also just kind of neat to I think it gives people the understanding that, you know, this is, in a lot of cases, this is more than just churning out pages as quickly as possible.
Right.
You know, they're really given some thought as to how they can do they can do the best work that they can do. And that's what I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Totally.
So let's talk just a little bit about, one of my other favorite ones from you guys is when you did the Great Darkness Saga. I've read that I don't know how many times, but hearing it from another person's perspective, I got a lot more out of it after that. And I'm thinking, well, the 5-year gap reviews you were doing, I hated that when I read it the first time. It was just too much change for me, but I had a different because you got all that inside stuff.
There was a lot behind the scenes going on.
Yeah, see, and back then you didn't have all the covers that you do now that, you know, somebody goes
through. Well, and back then you didn't know all the stuff that was going on between the Superman editorial office and the Legion office.
And to be fair, I don't know that they would have talked about it a whole lot then.
No, they wouldn't have.
And
but now that people have left, people feel free to.
Yeah, it's many years later, and Tom's way of looking at it is, hey, I don't work for them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that said, I think he's still incredibly diplomatic in the way he talks about it. But you know, he's honest about, hey, we wanted to do this and we were told, no, you can't do that. So we had to find a way around it. Mm-hmm. And that was neat because at the time that we did that, we had found Tom's blog and his live journal where it's okay, I'm a senator. Yeah. And he gets into, he'll go issue by issue. In fact, he's still doing it. He just posted a few recently of a couple of the early Legionnaires issues.
I need to catch up on that.
It's really great. And because you get a whole lot of that behind the scenes with, you know, who created which character and how they decided to do the things that they did. For all of the complaints one might have about, oh, the Superman office, what idiots, you know, they wouldn't let them use the term Daily Planet.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they went that route, because if they hadn't gone that route, we would never have got that alternate reality more Drew story.
That's true. Very true.
One of my favorite stories in the book, and we would never have had that were it not for the fact that the Superman office was being so myopic.
Yeah, they were
being a little dickery. Dickery.
That's probably why I hated that time period so much when they were doing it at the time, is because of the way they were, you know, taking out Superman from it. And, you know, in my mind, it was the writers doing it, not the, that's just what they were forced to do, and hear all that, and then to go over it again, how great that run really was. I need to read through it again.
It's available on Comixology now.
Yes, I saw that. I was just seeing that.
The whole reason why they kind of retracted from Superman being out of the Legion was because they wanted to make Superman special.
And
so they retracted all of his supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a ton of characters have been around for years, did not appear for many, many years, and mostly after Byrne left
the new
Superman run. I mean, it wasn't until Dan Jurgens came in that you saw other characters begin to pop in here and there, or even Easter eggs of them. So,
yeah.
But by then, the damage had been done to the Legion continuity. Yep. So.
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of Legion continuity,
Scott, you had no Legion continuity coming into this show, right?
Not exactly. The most Legion I had previous to coming into this was the Keith Giffen Legion of Substitute Heroes special.
Oh yeah.
Their appearance, the subs appearance in Ambush in DC Comics Presents with Ambush Bug there.
Yeah.
And actually, I had picked up some of the 5 year later Legion. So that was actually my Legion as far as it goes, because I didn't really read a lot before that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So unlike you, I didn't have the baggage of it, so I really liked it for what it was at the time.
Well, you know, and in my case, when you mentioned baggage, that's definitely the case, because I literally, you know, as I said on here before, literally learned to read from comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that I always got was the Legion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the ones that I have pretty much all the way to Superboy and the Legion 197 all the way up to present. You know, all of that, which I think I mentioned it on your show before. But, that's how I learned to read. So, yeah, I definitely had a lot of baggage when it came to that point. So,
personality-wise, obviously, Scott, you fit in really well, but what in the world made you guys think that he would be a good fit for a Legion podcast with absolutely minimal Legion experience, for lack of a better word?
That's what made him good for it.
Exactly, because he would ask questions that maybe
we wouldn't think of answering.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so obvious, you know, or at least to us it's obvious, but Paul and I have been reading Legion since we were kids.
Yeah,
right.
And then that's not the case for everyone out there in the internets who are just discovering Legion for the first time, or maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever you're writing a team book, you want a perspective character. I am the Kitty Pride of our particular podcast.
He is.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
I would. I would go with that. That's true.
You know, part of it also was that I knew Scott from going and hanging out at the first Super Show with him, and he was listening to the show, and he was commenting on the forums, and it was kind of an easy thing where it's just like, yeah, you should come on the show sometime, and so that's what we did. But it was that was just sort of an easy and obvious thing for us, and it worked out so well. You know, it was just he fit in so easily. And so then, like I said, you know, he was saying, hey, just have me on whenever. Just give me a shout, and I'd love to join in. Mm-hmm. And so we already had kind of that that history, right? Mm-hmm. So when you say, you know, how what made you think that? Well, part of it was just that he'd been on the show a bunch of times and fit in. So why not? You know, it just made sense.
Plus, they were getting a lot of complaints that the show was too intelligent and too highbrow.
So. We needed to reach a different demo.
I see.
Yeah, that those are words that I associate with your show.
Yeah.
Frequently. That's perspective. I live in Arizona, so that'll teach me.
That will, won't you? It's a dry heat out there, I hear. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
110
today.
Woo! Crap,
I would take that if it was dry, though.
What's that?
I said I would prefer it if it was dry like it is down there. Man, we're pretty muggy up here today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looks like it's going to storm or something, though.
We had a crazy storm last night.
Did you?
Oh, it was loud. It was crazy loud.
Here's a story that you guys will love.
Okay.
Two nights ago, we had a huge storm blow through this place, and it wrecked my favorite barbecue joint in town.
Oh.
No.
I am so freaking annoyed.
That's terrible.
Where would you get your fish sticks?
Or Fox Brothers. Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Fish sticks.
So to go a bit off the a little bit more off the reservation here, what the hell is the deal with all this barbecue argument going on?
Oh, you don't know that about that?
You don't know the barbecue argument?
That was the Mark Wade episode. Yeah. Episode 102.
Yeah. Maybe my eyes glazed over partway through that episode. I have no idea.
It would have been right near the beginning, and
oh, then that's exactly what I usually glaze over. Okay, well, perfect.
I see.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So that all started because I said that we'd had not one but two barbecues, and Darren thought it important that he point out that
Excuse me, sir. That's not a barbecue. That's a cookout.
Yes. So.
See, what's funny to me is I've had that same with my wife, that same argument, because they would always say, "Well, we're gonna have a barbecue." No. Well, okay, what kind of sauce are you going to use?
Thank you. like the next question.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you using the Carolina mustard, or are you going to use the vinegar?
Because when I grew up, we're going to charcoal, because that's what we did. We put charcoal, and we lit it, and we cooked stuff on it.
Barbecue.
Exactly. So, and I just thought it was hilarious. I still laugh about that. Because I mean that's just exactly the same argument I've had all the time. So
I know people who, if you say you're going to barbecue and they show up and you have hot dogs and burgers for them, they're going to look at you like you asshole.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Luckily,
a hibachi grill and a few frozen patties do not a barbecue make.
Yes,
thank you.
Barbecue is slow smoked roasted meats, including but not limited to pork shoulder, brisket, ribs, and whole hogs. Not patties on a grill.
That is
what you would call a cookout.
A cookout.
That's the exact words that he used.
That is what we call semantics.
It is not semantic.
No,
it's two entirely different.
Let's keep in mind, this is the same guy that tried to tell us that Strongbow is a beer.
Yeah. So if you're going to play that game, then you can't play the other game.
I don't know about that.
Actually,
be it right or be it wrong.
As well, so there.
No, there's no debate with that. Beer involves malt, and there is no malt involved in Strongbow. So.
I'm going to be making a special cocktail this evening, by the way, for all of you. So,
Molotov.
Our celebration.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I know, right?
Yeah. See, it only took a matter of time until Darren said the words cock and tail.
Right? I'm consistent, if nothing else. Okay?
Usually it's so much sooner.
It's early in the morning.
But Caleb doesn't know that because he usually glazes over that section.
Yeah,
that's
true. As he glazes.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about cock and tail.
Oh. Well,
two of my favorite topics. Okay, all right.
See, what else was like? I had something else I was going to ask you guys.
Fuckers, anyway. Nothing says for straight more than having a little bit of cock sandwiched between two buns. That's all.
Oh God, don't get me started. Yeah, I was real disappointed. One of our good friends actually posted on her Facebook that, she was going to Chick-fil-A on that Chick-fil-A day.
I lost 15 friends on Facebook from it. And I'm just 15? Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll wait till after I move, so.
I tried to explain to my daughter, who loves Chick-fil-A, why we were not going to be eating at Chick-fil-A in the near or even distant future, and she's 9 and went right over her head.
But
there are, in fact, I'm going to try it today. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm getting the stuff to make Chick-fil-A sandwiches
at home
to try it, see if it works. So there are recipes out there that you can have your Chick-fil-A without giving them money.
It didn't really affect me too. I mean, I support, not going there, but I haven't gone there in years anyway, so it wasn't a big deal.
It was a fairly easy boycott, wasn't it?
Easy boycott.
Okay, I don't like that place anyway, so,
Oh, yeah, I didn't go. I didn't go either.
Yeah, we don't have any.
What's hilarious about the Chick-fil-A thing is they had a huge one-day spike. Mm-hmm. Yay. Got a whole bunch of money. But their brand rating in the business world has gone way below.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Normally. now, way below the norm. And it was above the norm. People liked Chick-fil-A. It was a clean place to go. It was dependable. You knew what you were going to get. And now the people are like, oh, my God, Chick-fil-A, a bunch of homophobes. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this finally all plays out. Mm. Since it's a privately owned company,
yeah,
they're not beholden to stockholders like a Coca-Cola would be, you know.
Right, right.
So, honestly, we'll see.
I really kind of hope it goes one way or the other soon.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
This is terribly selfish of me, but I mean, I'm not a gay man. But
oh, but you play one on the internet, darling.
Yes, but if you were to look at my Facebook page, you would think I know no one but gay people, because my entire Facebook feed is covered with kill Chick-fil-A and all this other stuff. And it's like, come on, is there nothing else to talk about?
Yeah, I'm tired of it too.
I'm sick.
Well, like, I don't mean to belittle the struggle and whatnot.
No.
I've got four gay friends, and they are completely just bombing my Facebook feed. It's unsettling.
Yes.
It makes me feel icky.
Aww. Yeah, it'll blow over soon, I'm sure. I hope.
Well.
All right, sorry about that. Yep, that goes the explicit tag, all right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me.
Yes, I know.
Which is a strange thing indeed.
Yeah.
I know.
That's all right. Anyway.
Indeed.
All right, let's get another topic. We talked about a little bit about that in the pre-show. The part that I was recording that you didn't know I was. That's what I call the pre-show. I'd asked what you guys think about the new 52, but, you know, sticking on the Legion, and I know the answer, but let's tell
let's tell everyone, right?
The people that haven't listened to you, might not have listened to your show, how you feel about the new 52 Legion books.
I actually went back and destroyed all of my old Legion books because there was just no point in keeping them anymore.
Okay.
And then he realized that they were keeping the old continuity, and he's, damn it!
Damn it!
I wish I still had those two books!
Seriously.
Yeah.
So,
both of them!
Specifically the Legion Lost. We were talking about that before. I think Paul came on the call how it hasn't really bothered me as much as it has you guys, because I guess I really don't even remember the last issue I read, so...
Well, see, because you're not reviewing it every month, so
we have to actually look at the book and be kind of not critical so much, but kind of let people know what they're getting into a little bit and explaining it. That was the whole reason for this podcast in the first place, because there's so many characters and so many pieces on the board. We are in the business of explaining what happens, a Cliff Notes version, if you will.
Yeah,
and with Legion Lost, there doesn't seem to be a lot of point.
No, there doesn't.
They're in the past, and yet it's been a colossal mess.
Yeah,
and I hate to say that because I want my Legion books to be excellent,
and
this one just is not.
No, it's not.
And you know, I mean, I've certainly made no secret of it over the last few years on our show that. The Legion stuck in the past thing, it never really works for me, mainly because of just sort of a lot of the things that it leads to, and sometimes it works fine as a one storyline kind of thing,
right?
You know, that sort of here's a little fish out of the water thing, but
yeah, for an issue or two, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as a premise for an entire book,
no.
Yeah. Had they decided to take them from that moment where they jumped forward in the timeline and everything was destroyed and keep them there,
that would have been cool. Yes, that would have been interesting.
That would have been cool. I was looking at that going, yes, please get them out of the 21st century, put them somewhere else, and give them more issues to confront. But no, they zapped them back.
Wow.
And
the
just
21st
the,
century. I was like, no!
Hope their whole conceit. Their leap home.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, but there's that whole conceit that they can't go to Superman or the other heroes of the era because they don't want to infect them with the hypertaxis.
They're
virus.
In New York City now, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
I know.
You know, it's not like they stayed in Podunk, Minnesota, where Matt lives. No, they moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So they've infected New York City.
Podunk, Minnesota, is apparently adjacent to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Wherever. I don't care. One of those states up north where they make cheese. So
if they would have went sort of the time tunnel way where, you know, mm-hmm. they were sort of stumbling through time and not able to control where it was going.
Yes.
Like, and that would have been interesting.
If you would, you know.
Sort of interact or not interact with, you know, exploring some of the DC history.
That would have, yeah, exactly. That would have been a good way to explore the new 52 hit DC
history. You can't explore a history that doesn't exist yet, sir.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And you know, the other thing is, I get that future era that we saw, mm-hmm. This ties into the whole prophecy thing with Tyrock, and you know what, save me from science fiction storylines that use the word prophecy.
Yeah.
As seems to be a common trope these days.
Yeah, you're right. I was watching just something the other day that I hadn't seen before, and it was the same thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, you get a lot of those things, but and I get that, you know, that was a setup, and so now their idea, now their kind of goal is to prevent that future from happening. Mm-hmm. But there was a whole bit with there was the whole thing with Alistair, and now apparently Alistair's back, and it just seems that there's
the thing with Echo and Chameleon Girls working for Echo, and Echo's this bizarre science police secret program where they put criminals in the past because, oh, that's safe.
Mm-hmm. Witness relocation program. And
yeah,
and that sort of
thing. It's really just...
Yeah, they're trying to cram too much in there, that's for sure.
Well, you look at the logo.
Yeah.
And it's Lost, literally. It's
true, they are.
From the TV show.
Yeah.
It's a little bolder. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it very... Ooh, look at all these cool pieces of this puzzle, and we can put them together in this way and that way. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking not working. If Harvest was supposed to be Ben Linus, that was a fail.
Yeah, it was. So. Yeah, that whole, as you call on your show, the dummy.
The dulling, yes.
The dulling.
It was painful.
It was.
You know, Ritalin, for Christ's
and
sake.
And if you listen to our show, that was where we you know, you can sort of hear us collectively falling out of love with the book because we were enjoying it up to then.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fun book, and even DeFalco's first issue, number 6, was a really good issue. I mean, it felt like he was moving that story forward. And then the dulling really slapped the brakes on, and again it kind of kills that whole idea of we can't go visit Superman because we might infect him. Oh, but we can hang out with the Teen Titans, and then we can go to the most populous city.
There's no one cares if we kill the Teen Titans anymore.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many Titans. You know. They drop like flies during crises now. So
yeah,
why not?
They do.
You know, so. It just makes no sense why these characters can't just go up to Superman and say, dude, need some help, yo.
Mm-hmm. Now,
need to get back to, like, the 31st century where we belong, okay?
Speaking of the 31st century,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a book that, you know, the Legion proper,
mm-hmm.
Is a book that I think started off very slow. And
it did.
And I think there was a little bit too much water being carried from the last storyline, and so that didn't help them going in. That said, you know, from about issue 5 on, that book got a whole lot better.
Yeah.
You know, we started getting some action. Some, you know, there's, you know, Levitz always loves his political intrigue, and there's still a level of intrigue, but not overpowering. The first mm-hmm. issues, there was the first 4 issues, there was a bit too much of that side of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from the second Ultra Boy cut loose in issue 5, it really picked up speed. And you know, so that one has been a lot more fun to review.
Okay. So excuse me.
Of course.
So would you prefer if those seven characters just said, you know what, we're going back, we're going to be back at the in their Legion proper, or should there still be a second book?
I would like for the Legion Losties to come back to the Legion book proper, and for there to be a different second book of the Legion. I think the reason why they did Legion Lost is because Adventure was so popular.
Yeah.
With Bill Jimenez's work, right, and Legion Academy. Do a Legion Academy book again. Because that's kind of fun. You know? That's why people were reading it. This just took these characters out of where they're supposed to be into this bizarre other place that's just not conducive with Legion stories.
And I really enjoyed the way that that Levitz was writing Tyrok after he brought him back. Mm-hmm. And it's a real shame to lose that. He was doing such a great job with that character. And I feel that Tyrok's been kind of all over the place as far as his characterization goes in the in Legion Lost. So I'd love to see him back, you know, back to the mothership. And yeah, the Academy story was fantastic. And I mean, a big part of that is, first off, it was some new characters. Second, Phil Jimenez on art, that doesn't hurt.
No, not at all.
So that made that just that much better.
In terms of Legion fandom, we kind of all live in a little bubble here. I mean, let's be honest here. You know, as long term, short term Legion fans, it's hard to it's difficult to see outside, even with an outsider's perspective, like Scott. No offense, Scott, but I think you've kind of lost that perspective because you haven't sucked in this little world. Do you think that there's still a renewed perspective that the Legion is hard to get into, given history, and also it does have a shitload of characters in it?
I think now it actually might be the fact that they know the audience that they're reading, that are reading comics these days, and Legion is almost just one of those throw the people who aren't really into the New 52 a bone, because it's basically the same stuff that they used to like to read. So then maybe they'll stop bitching. I don't know.
In terms of the New 52, there's Legion, Demon Knights, and maybe a couple others. But Legion is for those who don't want to be enmeshed in the whole New 52 continuity.
Yeah, there's certainly a couple other books that are like that too. Dial H is very much like that. It's doing its own thing, not really dealing with the rest of the stuff, but I think they are aware of the sort of there is that sort of backlash against it in certain demographics. I'm certainly one of them, not so much because of the continuity, just because what's going on over there?
I don't know.
I think it's my mic.
Darren's getting his morning lick.
Cats have really scratchy tongues.
Yes.
There's that better.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead, Scott. That's okay.
Oh man, I forgot where I was. What was I talking about?
We were talking about the backlash and how you weren't as concerned about it because of the continuity, but
Oh yeah, it's not so much the continuity, although I do like continuity. I like the idea that a character can actually go through a bunch of things. Cliff Steele from the Doom Patrol is the biggest example I have, where he actually progressed as a character from being in so many iterations of the Doom Patrol that got destroyed that, you know, there was actual character progression for him, and it's sort of, you know, all gone now.
Yeah.
But it's more, I just don't really like, I don't enjoy the mood of the stories. It's all so serious and so... and so gritted teeth and da 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 da, you know, and that's not what I read comics for. I have, you know, the world to deal with that kind of thing. I don't really need, you know, to bring it into my entertainment so much. It's like Game of Thrones. I really straddle the line with that stuff, because on one hand, it's really cool and it's really a really good period piece and all that stuff. But on the other hand, it's unrelentingly horrible.
Yeah.
People.
I actually, you know, you guys talk about it a lot, and I've, you know, a lot of people talk about it a lot, and I got the first season and watched it, and it's like, holy crap, that's something else. So
it is, and almost politically too. It resonates very well today, and I think that's part of the reason it's so popular. Because basically the theme of Game of Thrones is bad guys can do whatever they want and they will just chew up and spit out good guys.
Yeah. Yep.
And ironically, Game of Thrones has more characters probably than the Legion does, yet it's a thriving franchise. Whereas Legion is always continually trying to find a footing within the comic book world. I'm talking post Giffen and Levitt's Baxter time, when obviously it was a top ten book.
Sure.
All
the
time.
Mm-hmm.
That was why I wrote the whole post in the beginning to say kind of a who's who of the Legion, because someone complained that they weren't into Legion because there were too many characters and it's too complicated, and he was going to go read X-Men instead.
Holy crap, really?
And I'm like, really? X-Men? How many Phoenixes are there? How many Summers Brothers are there? How many alternate timelines? Because this is after the 90s. We've got Cable, we've got X-Men, we've got Bishop.
Yeah.
What? And Legion's more difficult than that? No, it's not. When you look at all the X characters, there are about as many X-Men characters as there are Legionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
And Legion's a lot more straightforward than the X-Men stories have been over the years. So,
Most Legionnaires didn't get solid personalities until the early 80s anyhow.
Until Levitt got a hold of them, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they were interchangeable. Yeah,
That was one of the first things that he did, was he started to give them unique characteristics. You know, that's where we got, and even then there were some that he didn't quite get to, and they were, you know, like for example, Brainiac 5 borrows probably every bit as much from Mark Waid's version of the character as it does from Levitz's previous handling of Brainy, because I think he just really enjoyed that version of Brainy, like sort of the haughty,
the arrogance.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's his sort of innate feeling of superiority, and so that. You know, he borrowed some stuff from that, but I mean, he was the first one who started, you know, giving these guys unique characteristics. Sunboy is a womanizer, started then. You even look at like his first couple of issues, you know, that came a bit later. That was something he sort of started to pepper in very slowly. So it comes down to finding ways. He found a lot of ways to differentiate the characters. And you're right. I mean, before that, they were all pretty much, Superboy with a different power set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes a different hairstyle. Sometimes.
Maybe.
Or skin color.
Yeah, exactly. And so you'll frequently hear us when we're going through like the showcases, and it's like, is that who's this?
And I'm archived, so I've got to go. No, it's colored like this. So
yeah, exactly.
I let my daughter color in my showcases. So
well, see, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Who's this purple guy?
See, my kid doesn't color inside the lines yet, so I'm waiting.
You're waiting, yeah.
I'm waiting until she understands a color guide.
Yeah. You're going to download the Hi-Fi book, How to Color Your Comics.
Hey, I have a copy right here on the shelf, so.
Yeah. That's funny.
Now, get to work. There's 85 showcases in there.
Exactly. Fire up Photoshop, kid. But Daddy, I'm only 4. Because I'm going to wait until next year. So
there you go.
Kids in Cambodia are already.
Be reasonable.
Canadian labor laws are a little different than down here south of the border.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, come on, kids in Korea are making full feature cartoons at this age.
I'll even give you the same rate they're getting. How about that? 50 cents a day. Let's go.
50 cents a day.
Yeah. Oh, remember exchange rate. So
here's your ramen noodles.
Yes. That's funny.
So do you think that it is a stigma that is going to be forever tattooed on Legion, or obviously this was their way to try and break out of those molds and those stereotypes that have been labeled to all their books. Do you think Legion has succeeded in at least converting some? I don't look at the numbers, so I'm curious what the numbers look like pre and post?
You know, it's not that far off, actually. Like, if you look at, you know, looking at the last issue, so June 2012, you know, I think it sold just under 20,000 copies, and the previous year, so what issue would we have been on here?
And that's print copies, though. We don't know about that.
No, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But that still seems to be where the majority of them are. I'm just trying to find the issue last year, and I think the fact that I can't find it tells you that actually they maybe have gone up. Oh wait, no, Legion of Superheroes. Okay, so 19,000 and change this mm-hmm. year. Last year, 22,600. That was issue 14. Yeah. So that's June to June. However, having said that, from I guess it was down because in the previous issue 9 was about 20,800 copies. Mm. So yeah, it's down from the previous year, and I think part of that comes down to, again, that start was kind of slow, and I think that start really didn't help them when there was just a mass of books coming out, and there were a lot of people who were sampling a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And does that stigma exist? I think it does.
I don't know how you can get away from it, really.
And it's, you know, back before, I mean, it constantly baffles me because there's nothing easy. There's no time in this world that it has been easier to find out the history of a particular set of characters.
Well, this is true. Yeah.
As it is now, right?
You mean back in 1981 or 82 when we did
yeah,
our book,
you know,
we just
so
had to kind of find our way because
you just muddled through
exist.
It. Yeah. Yeah, and you figured it out because it's like, okay, so that's Sun Boy and he has sun powers.
Well,
okay.
But in this day and age, everybody wants everything like right there, handed to them. They don't
want
to do the work.
Hand it on a plate, and they don't.
I want the end of
the story to evolve.
I want the end of the story right at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know,
what's the point of that?
Well, but Legion
that's the moment when I cringe in a comic book panel when someone's going to say, "Yeah, can you tell me how Infinite Crisis is going to end?" No.
Mm-hmm.
Stop wasting people's time. Enjoy the story.
And Legion does spoon feed it because they have those character boxes mm-hmm. for everybody. So.
And that was a Mark Waid thing that Levitz really enjoyed, and so he picked that one up as well. And
yeah,
and
it was in all the DC titles for a while. I remember.
Oh yeah, and that was a thing that the Waid did as a way in, mm-hmm. and Levitz really liked that. So he was like, oh, that way we've got the name of the character, where they're from, and here's what their powers are,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just to make it that much easier for people to find that way in. But I honestly think that with this current run, it was the slow start that really probably did the most damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Legion needs another high-profile story, which hopefully is coming in. We've been promised one for a while related to the Flashpoint event.
Well, we're gonna get six issues of revisiting the Well here in a couple months with Giffen coming to the book. So,
yes.
Fatal Five, which while they're not widely known, people know the Persuader. People visually, at least within the fandom. They know the
Fatal Five.
Yeah.
If it's the same Fatal Five.
And you know, one of the things is that there is going to be some, we're going to get some good old superheroes fighting supervillains action. And
it's what you want.
Yeah. So and, I think that can only help. But it comes down to how do they bring some people into the fold of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's hopefully, you have to do a crossover with JLA. Or something like that, you know.
Well, look at the. I mean, that's part of what the whole Zero issue thing is designed is to try and bring some people back in. Whether or not that will happen is.
Yeah, I was surprised they. Well, I mean, they needed something for the 1 year anniversary, but I was kind of disappointed that's the way they went with a Zero issue because it seems
so
gimmicky.
Origin, yeah, it is gimmicky.
Yeah.
you know.
And, you know, I was hoping they would stay away from that kind of stuff, but...
I'd rather have seen annuals.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah. Continuity we'll annuals.
We'll get those as well, though.
Yeah. I know. But...
So at some point we're
going to
get...
do a theme, do it in the annual, not...
At some point we're going to get, like, what, the fourth Legion of Superheroes annual number one?
Yeah.
I've lost track.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. I have, too.
The Many Deaths of Karate Kid.
Don't go there.
Oh, man. They could do a whole hardcover on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, they did one on Farrell, so why not Karate Kid?
Yeah,
right?
And he only died once.
Yeah.
Seriously,
but,
right?
But it was spectacular, sir.
Well, this is true.
He did it right.
Yeah.
He did it once.
He went up. Boom. I'm dead.
Yeah, this is true.
And my ghost is in the hallway. I want to see Farrell Ad's ghost come back. Come on. Bring that back.
Yeah, let's have some fun with that. Yeah.
Arrow Lad's ghost. Oh my god.
Why not? Why not?
I don't know. Why not? It could be a prophecy or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, why not?
We don't have enough of those.
We don't have enough of those at all.
Oh man.
We don't want to see the Earth. I don't think we'll see the Three Boot Legionnaires again anytime soon.
Yeah. No.
I think they are pretty much signed off into before the Flashpoint event.
Oh, and I remember at the time everyone was like, "Oh, we're going to get stories with them with the other Legionnaires as the Wanderers," and it's like, "Yeah, don't be so sure."
they're over there with Superboy Prime. No, it's not.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Superboy Prime is done.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Keeping the copyrights active.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, what about Secrets of the Legion? What about did you enjoy those five issues, or was it an interruption? Was it an extra $4 cost a month, or what?
I liked it, but not as much as I'd hoped I would. I guess I really didn't see the point.
Mm-hmm. That's where I sit. Yeah, I was like, why? Why? We just had all this rebooting, all this. I don't know. It was just too much for me at that time. So
yeah, I really.
As
I
you
don't see what
as we did.
Yeah, what it really did, except for maybe bring the Time Trapper back, which what have we seen of that?
Around.
Yeah.
It streamlined the origin for this continuity's purpose.
Yeah, and I'll have to.
That's all it really did, and it only got us through what Ultra Boy's appearance. Really?
I think part of what it did, and this is what kind of worked for me most about it, is it kind of let him scratch his political intrigue itch outside of the main book, and left more room for action in the regular book.
In the regular book, yeah.
So I wasn't crazy about it myself. I agree with what Scott and Darren said. I mean, it just seemed to, it was just kind of there, and it's interesting because it really kind of left them in a tough spot for the Zero issue, because it's like, oh, didn't we just do that?
Didn't we just do that? Yeah, exactly. So now they're gonna have to do the Brainy only issue.
Yeah, which is fine with me because I always liked that character.
And what's amusing about the beginning Legion story is, there was no Superboy, Supergirl in it.
Yeah.
At all. So, are those characters around in this continuity? We don't know the answer to that yet, so.
Yeah.
Is it tough for you guys? Because sometimes it is for me to think that I actually don't like a Legion book. I mean, it's...
that's horrible.
Yeah, it's bothering me, too. The Legion Lost one.
Well, not just that, but I mean, as much as... I actually do enjoy Legion the monthly, most months. There's been waves. I mean, there's been a couple of those. Not as low as Legion Lost or, something written by J.T. Kroll, but it certainly has been,
poor J.T. Kroll.
We haven't insulted him in a while. It's time. Though I have to admit, his work on that digital Superman Beyond thing is not too bad. But anyway, back to that. Back to the Legion. Well, yeah.
You don't have to admit it, Chris.
Well, okay.
Sorry.
All right, I won't. I'll edit that out. but yeah, what you're saying. My thing. So I'm enjoying the main Legion book. I just don't necessarily agree with everything that Lovitz is doing with some of the characters, like how the whole conflict with Monel's leadership. And I know Scott doesn't agree with me, but that's one of my favorite characters, always has been. Him and Cosmic Boy. And I think he's kind of out of type doing what he's doing, questioning his leadership, personally.
I don't think so, because I think he's a founding member. And he's been the leader how many times?
Yeah, this is true.
He's basically the guy they turn to when they need a leader, because he is the, sort of the Captain America of their particular group.
This is true. Yeah.
So if he thinks that Mon-El is doing a bad job, well, he's the only one who really has any play to say it. Other than Brainy will just say it because he's a dick.
Yeah, this is true.
But that's if Cosmic true. Boy thinks you're doing a bad job, well, maybe you are. Mm-hmm. And maybe you need to think about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe at least you need to explain yourself better so that he doesn't think you're doing a bad job.
Yeah, true.
And I actually never thought of him in that way until, and this relates back to you, Scott, I didn't think Cosmic Boy in that role until 5 years later, until the whole moping around in the trench coat.
The dinner with Mordru, man. I mean, come on, that guy was a pimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And normally I could care less about Cosmic Boy, but that was a great story.
Yeah.
It shows you know, the kind of balls that he's got, even when he doesn't have his powers.
Yeah, this is true. I guess that's one of the reasons why I've always liked that character, though.
Yeah. That and the hot pink outfit, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Hail Scarlet.
Love the bustier. Hello.
Right. Yeah, that was an unfortunate costume.
It was so not unfortunate.
Well, you know. I remember reading through the archives, Legion ones that they got, and how they'd let the readers design them. So.
Yeah, those were some unfortunate looks.
Yes, they were.
So.
But it was entertaining, though.
Oh, it was very entertaining. Yeah. But, wow. I wouldn't put Shadow Lass in orange any day of the week.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. not a good color for
me. No offense, McMonkey, but...
Yeah.
No, for Shadow Lass, I agree totally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like orange, really?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hide the shadows wearing
bright orange. Or what was up with Shrinking Violet's Native American look? I'm like,
oh, yeah, I remember.
Is she
that.
Stealing that from Dawnstar? What
the fuck? Oh, she's stealing it from Cher.
Oh, Cher.
Ooh. Yeah, Ooh. Cher was big during that time, wasn't she?
That's true.
Yeah.
Sure she was. She's big now, sir.
So on the show, you guys do the voices a lot. Is that accidental? And
that's alcohol.
Yeah, I think it's ad libbing. But I think the most brilliant thing ever was having Wildfire's voice be Mr. T. And I have to take my hat off to you. I tell you, it fits so well to his character. I mean, seriously.
I was just being a jerk. I don't know, man.
No, it does. I actually had people come check on me in my queue because I listened to it at work, and I was giggling and laughing so hard. It's just like, dude, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Thought I was drunk or something, you know?
Who do we have voices for? We have Wildfire and Jacques and White Witch. Who else has a voice? Are they the only three?
There's Ultra Boy.
Well, Ultra Boy.
Oh, well, now Ultra Boy has a voice.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Josh is so upset with us.
Damon.
Well, it's that makes it even more funny because that's exactly how they portray that character, is a big dumb jock anyway.
Yeah. But remember, in the 5 years later, it was an act.
Yes.
Yeah. An act the whole time.
Which I thought was a cool twist.
I just don't buy that it's back the whole time.
Acting.
Yeah.
It was his super act. His ultra acting.
Ultra acting. Powers.
Jeez. So, well, what? Okay. In general, what do you guys think about? You know, you're kind of off of Legion a little bit, but about the rest of the New 52.
Scott, you can go ahead and leave now. No, I'm done.
To me, it's the same as any comic book line. There's some stuff that's great. There's a lot of stuff that's middling, and there's some stuff that's just outright terrible.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the same as any line of comics. And you know, and there will be people who will disagree about what falls into which category, as yes, there should be. Yes. You know, that's the idea of making a diverse line, is that you, you know, you appeal to people who, you know, maybe don't like this book, but there's something else for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, you know, it's one of those things, like, people were like, oh, well, I don't like every one of these titles. How can that be? You know, they've completely failed. And it's like, no, they're doing what they're supposed to do. You're not going to like every book.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why they're doing it in the
shot. That's why there's a war book and a Western book and a Dungeons and Dragons book, for Christ's sake.
They scratch different itches, you know, and it's like, you know, Scott mentioned the Dial H title a little earlier, and that's going in a completely different place as well. And, you know, and you know, there are probably quite a few books that that I like that do fall into sort of different categories. But, you know, there's again, it's with any line of publishing, you want to have some things that appeal to different audience segments.
Yeah. And you're talking about what, 50 books a month? You're not going to like everything.
No. Yeah.
There's no possible way for you to absolutely love every book.
Yeah.
There's just not. Nice. You're going to have some favorites. You're going to have some, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. And then you're going to have some, dear God, what was that?
Yeah. Okay, so along that line, mm-hmm. and for the first thing I think of is the one I was most disappointed in of the first wave. Mm-hmm. And that would be Fury of Firestorm, I think.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to that being good. So is there one like that for you guys, or?
Looking forward to it being good and it wasn't?
Yeah.
Or just the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise, Aquaman.
Yeah.
That was a good surprise.
It was a good surprise.
It is.
Surprise because it's Aquaman.
Yeah.
How can it be good and be a solo? And right now they're doing this story with the others that is just rocking my world. I cannot wait to get that book again.
Yeah,
these first three issues of Aquaman that have been told over 12 issues have been awesome.
Thank you.
I know Caleb will agree with you on that.
Because I'm digging it, but man, that is a slow burn.
That's exactly what it does.
It's a good thing it's pretty.
Yeah, it's exactly what he did in Green Lantern when he built all that stuff up to...
Oh.
Sinestro Corps War and, you know, the other. And
Green Lantern was like the 5 hours of foreplay for a 10-minute fuck. Come on.
Oh, come on, Darren.
Whoa.
He's like, they've already added the explicit tag.
Yeah, exactly. Screw it.
It's tantric comic book reading.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, now.
Punch a hole through that multiverse.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, now.
Oh boy!
I'd say I can't say I was super surprised that I didn't dig it, but one I was kind of looking forward to seeing something different done with was Hawkman, and I agree with you on Firestorm. I'm a huge Firestorm fan from way back, and it was horrendous, but Hawkman to me was the worst of the bunch. I found it to be utterly unreadable.
Yes,
and it's unusual that you get a book that is improved by having Rob Liefeld write it. You know, it went from being an incoherent mess to just being a mess.
Being a mess to being a hot mess. Yeah.
Yes.
It was an expected mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
it was like opening the septic tank. What do you expect to see?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
This is true.
One of my other favorites has to be Demon Knights. That was a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that I'm enjoying that. That
Demon Knights is decent. It's very good. And I'm like,
because
wow,
it gets
really?
To do its own thing and have its own story.
And it's not wrapped up into everything else. And Wonder Woman at the beginning was a horrible disappointment.
Really?
Horrible disappointment to me. Because it's so not what I expect when I read a Wonder Woman story. When I read a Wonder Woman story, I expect to be able to hear Linda Carter say those words.
Oh, okay. Well, see,
you know what I mean?
I had never read a Wonder Woman book before consistently, so it was just little bits and pieces, issues here and there if it tied into other stuff. Mm-hmm. That's probably my biggest surprise would be that book, that I really enjoy that. I just read this.
But see, as it's evolved and moved on, we're getting to the point where I am hearing Linda Carter's voice again.
Okay, I see.
So... It was one of those things where everyone was like, Wonder Woman sucks. Yeah, it's like now I'm seeing the transition of the character from this beginning point to where we are now, and I'm liking it. I just wish that these individual heroes were reflected in the same voice in Justice League.
Yeah,
I feel like that's where we're getting a bit of a failure.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. There is a very large disconnect there.
Let's revisit our own personal past. I mean, you look at an issue of, again, I wasn't a regular Wonder Woman reader or even Superman or Batman reader at the time, but I bet their voices were very different in Jerry Conway's Justice League.
That's a good point.
Free.
Yeah, absolutely. They read different.
And who cared? Who cared?
Yeah, well, true.
That was back in the day of the Super Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this was the Justice League versions of those characters.
TV and not know who said what unless they said Great Hera or Great Galaxies or, you know, whatever. Whatever their exclamation was that episode.
Yeah, this is true.
Now comic book readers are a little more sophisticated and they expect a little more attention to character.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back to Scott's point about continuity, whether, you know, is it important or is it just good to have a through line for the characters? And perhaps Justice League are just little hiccups. Or maybe the other way around for the characters?
Sometimes it's just, you know, it's the old Keith Giffen argument about consistency versus continuity. And the consistency is the thing needed, right? I mean, it's like Darren said, that consistency of voice, right? At some point, there needs to be sort of, you know, they do a style guide with, you know, with turnarounds of the characters so they can say, okay, so this is what the costume needs to look like and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think they need a little bit of
a writing style guide.
Yeah, like a character guide. You know, I remember reading like a series bible of the Batman animated series, right?
Right, exactly.
And they got into a lot of like the relationship of each character to the other characters and that sort of thing. And so there was some consistency in the way that the characters are written. You can put them in different situations and they'll react differently to different situations, but at the same time there should be some sort of consistency.
What's the core?
A voice, you know, there needs to be a voice. And
I think Johns has done it, actually. I mean, I'm reflecting on this as we talk and thinking about the generalized character versions of the six characters that have their own books. And I think Johns got them down. I mean, it's, you know, Barry's still trying to find his feet, so to speak. And Hal Jordan is kind of an arrogant douche and Superman. Superman's an aloof guy now. I mean, and he's written that way as Superman, not as Clark Kent, but as Superman. And Wonder Woman is, you know, the mediator warrior, and Batman is the hard ass man. And again, the only character that he can, you know, that he can do whatever the hell he wants with. He's not, but that's beside the.
Well, and there's a part of it is less character and more tone. Like you look at the tone of the Wonder Woman book, it reads very much to me like
it's a Vertigo style.
Yeah, really. Early 90s Vertigo, right? Where you know, where you even get like, I remember there was one issue where they're sitting around at a coffee shop at the beginning, and it so reminded me of like, you know, early issues of like Preacher or Shade the Changing Man. Mm-hmm. You know, just sort of the way that the characters reacted to one another, and tonally, like that couldn't be further away from the tone of Justice League, so that's, you know, and that's less a character voice and more a tone, but there is a disconnect, and it does sort of it does feel often that it's a different character. You know, Johns is writing a much more traditional Wonder Woman than Azzarello is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I think that purely comes down to the tone of the book, and that's a very that's a different thing than just the voice.
Okay, well,
talking about that, I'm thinking about how he's done a good job with making Cyborg kind of elevated, so that he does kind of belong in the league.
And I still have problems with that, but yeah,
I lots of people do, but I get it now. Yeah. I get why in this era Cyborg would be a very good asset for the league to have.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of taking over a bit of that Barbara Gordon Oracle role because he's plugged into technology.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So I kind of get that.
Shoving Red Tornado down our throats again.
Oh, seriously?
Technological robot-y sort
he
of character.
He wants to be human.
Oh, go cry in a corner. Leave me alone. Jesus.
he just wants to be human, Scott.
Like, Batman would not put up with that dude for a second.
Like, switch him off. Like, switch him off.
Stick the hand up and walk away.
Well, we just found out this issue that he's dead, so...
Oh, that's terrible.
We did?
Yes. Yes, in the last issue of Justice League. Yes, he's dead.
Who's dead?
Vic Stone, Cyborg, he's dead.
Oh, good. Oh, yes, yes. Well.
Oh, his body is dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just the real body bits hold.
Might not have read that yet, but that's okay.
I don't read it well, but I can figure it out.
I just read
Rosebud is the sled.
I just read my last
spoilers for 1930. What?
My last brand new paper comic, I think, just yesterday.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of them bought. I just haven't read them yet on digital, so.
I've gone completely digital, except for trades. I will still get stuff in trades, but I've not bought a paper comic since they did that.
Yeah, you know, that brings something up, and the reason why I switched, and I don't think I've really gotten into it. I mean, I got to it into it on Facebook, but, you know, how far do you go to to support your local shop? I mean,
I would go further to support my local shop if my local shop was not being a dick about things.
Yeah, see, that was what the final straw was for me, because they came up all of a sudden. They gave us a couple weeks, but warning, and they said you got to pay this much. Basically, we got to pay prepay to have a subscription box.
Mm-hmm. Wrong answer.
Exactly.
You want business? No. That's not how you get it.
Right.
That's not how you get it. No.
And they've only been open up about a year. See, well, then add on to the point where I've prepaid before. I went, you know, to Memphis for a week of training, and I went in the Saturday before and said gave them an actual printed out list. This is what I want, and I'll pay for them now. Come in to get them. I had to get almost all of them off the shelf, and one of them they didn't even have, and I had prepaid for them.
And
I'm going to do that every week? No.
That's a local comic shop that was going to fail regardless.
Yes.
It wouldn't matter if there was no such thing as digital comics. That's ridiculous business, and that's just not the way you do it.
And and every single week I come in there, and I've given them actual filled-out previews forms and said, this is what I want, and always I have to get stuff off the shelf that they haven't held for me.
But here's the thing. The shop that I used to go to, I don't anymore.
Yeah.
I've been there consistently every month for about 5-6 years.
Right.
It's one of the best shops in town. And when I would go to it, you know, I would get marginally good service from some of the people there. Mm-hmm. But then there were several people who just acted like they are bothered by your presence in the store. And they work there, which really annoyed me. And the straw broke when I showed up with two of my friends, and the woman, who was very angry at the world, greeted the two guys with, oh, hi, how can I help you? What do you need? And then she saw me behind them, and she's like, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
She actually said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you go into a Macy's and they look at you and say, oh, it's you? No, it wasn't I know you, because this was not a relationship in which she knew my name.
Right.
Or she knew who I was. I just dropped $100 a month there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was expecting her check or whatever. And I told my friends, yeah, let's look for 5 minutes and we're going to leave. I'm not buying anything today.
Yeah.
Period.
Yes.
And I've not been back since.
They're not – I mean, they're nice and everything, and they'll help you when you're there. But you give them any kind of, well, hey, can you get this for me? And you know,
you
like,
can't make it any easier than giving them a goddamn list.
Though. Yeah, I mean, three or four.
They can't handle that. They can't handle it.
I downloaded the PDF from.
And you shouldn't prepay for something that you haven't gotten.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't do that for DVDs online or whatnot.
Exactly.
You know, prepay, order it, pre-order. No.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't.
If that's what they need, maybe okay, but then it better damn well be there.
Yeah, and that's why
I gave you money, don't give me the service or product.
Yeah,
that's robbing me.
I mean, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and when I walked in there at one time with my friend, and they're like telling everybody, "Hey, we're doing this. Like, we got 2 weeks, and if stuff's in your box, then you don't buy it. Then we're putting it on the shelf." Which that I can understand.
Yeah,
but I come in there
stuff forever
every week. And buy everything that they – almost everything they hold for me. Sometimes they put stuff that I never wanted, and I keep telling them that I don't want this book.
They're not doing their jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if they think they're doing their jobs, they're incompetent at them.
Yeah.
And that's sucky.
So,
and I wish there were other stores that I could get to easier than the store that is up here. But there isn't for me.
And it's
– So it's my only choice, and if I have a choice between that and – Comixology or DCBS or in-stock trades.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I order stuff. They tell me if it's back-ordered, and then they ship it to me free.
Oh, yeah. And they
and usually this stuff is cheaper than the stuff I would have. I have been in that store where they've unpacked the Wednesday comics, and they've already marked up the variant covers.
Ah, right.
They come out of the box, and they're marked up to, like, $15 a piece.
Yeah.
Like, you're insane.
Yeah.
You're insane. I can right-click that image offline in about 2 weeks and have it.
Mm-hmm.
If I want it that badly. So
2 weeks. You could do it. You could probably do it the week before.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So it's like, really? Y'all have I understand they have overhead. I understand they have things they need to get done.
But
when
that's
you're
raiding
my wallet,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
They can't
do a better job of being a good business. People will come to you.
Yeah.
If you want to screw me over, I get enough of that from the power company.
Well, and then, yeah, the last time I was in there, that was – not only did they not have bags and boards, which they're always sporadic with, they didn't even have a sack for me to put the comics in.
Yeah, that's – no. No.
See, they were just asking to be turfed, so that's
so,
fine.
You know, and I'm like –
there'd be no guilt there at all.
No,
sure.
I mean, I have a little bit because, you know, I'm just loyal. That's just the way I am. And
yeah, but no.
There's a point, though, when
that was
you're
the last
not getting
time.
What you're paying for.
Yeah.
And you have to say, okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
The most loyal dog, you kick him often enough, he ain't coming back.
Yeah.
No.
And that's – there's no point.
Yeah.
And it's like the local pizza joint I tried to order pizza from, like, 3 months ago. They hung up the phone on me 3 times. They did. I call him back, and I'm like, I'd like to speak to a manager. He's like, oh, he's not here. I'm like, what a shock.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what's your order? And I'm like, okay, well, here's my order. He's like, yeah, like 45 minutes, and hung up the phone. I'm like, okay, so 45 minutes, an hour later, of course, there's no pizza at my door ever.
You know, they didn't get your address.
They had everything on file. They've delivered here before without a problem. But apparently this night, and it wasn't one person on the phone. I got 3 different people.
Wow.
Okay. So
they're
I'm
all
like,
too busy doing something else.
Apparently, because when you work at a pizza joint, you do other things
out.
Besides make pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe they're trying to record a podcast, and you keep getting in the way.
Possibly. I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know. And I filed a complaint because it's a big chain. I'm not going to mention who it is, but
yeah.
I filed a complaint, and I got a call from the district manager like 3 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, I am so over this. You missed the boat. It's over. We have
you called me the next day, maybe.
Maybe. But 2 weeks later, I don't freaking think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
sometimes the reason I stick
service, that kind of service is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the reason I'm sticking with my LCS is for my kids, because I'm not going to let them read the digital copies of the books they love, so I still have to buy the paper copies of Young Justice and Scooby-Doo and stuff. So
that makes sense, and that's a legitimate – well, I mean, you could still get them from DCBS or something if your store is being bad to you,
yeah.
Obviously.
Which they're not. Which they're not. I mean, I'm lucky enough to –
well,
yeah. See, that was the other thing. That they
stick with it and support it. Yeah, totally.
That was the other thing. They stopped giving me a discount all of a sudden, too.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, you know,
this store never gave discounts.
Well, I mean, that was the thing, because
like,
really? I found out they were there through Comixology, and I started up right before the new 52 stuff, and they had a deal. You get all these, and you get, like, 40% off. This many books, you get, like, 40 books, you get 30% off or whatever. Well, I, you know, did that. Well, it got to the point where I'd only got that when a certain person was in there, and then it just stopped altogether. You know, and that, so all that all up together, it's like, yeah, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
And this crap is, I mean, as much as I love collecting them, they're not going to be worth really anything anyway.
No.
Oh, yeah, I stopped thinking about that a long
time.
Yeah. I do too. That's just a habit of actually buying them, you know.
The only reason I put them in bags anymore is to keep them together.
Yeah, exactly.
Though ironically, that issue of Legion Lost that was part of the culling is actually worth a couple dollars.
Is it now?
Why?
Because it was under ordered.
Because everyone went, no!
I wonder why it was under ordered.
That's funny.
Just
math here. Hang on.
A little touch of irony that The Culling was popular enough that that book sold out and then some. So
that's pretty funny. Yeah.
That's wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
A shame.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering, and you know what you guys thought about that, but
So tonight you guys are going to record episode what?
200.
200. Paul, you back?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is anything that you have planned for tonight? Anything you got planned for the next few months that you want to just kind of talk about? Or?
He thinks we planned.
Plan.
Awesome. You planned some.
Man.
We don't plan. You guys appear to be organized.
Yeah, sometimes we don't figure out what we're going to talk about until, like, right before we start recording. So.
Oh, sir, that has happened to us many a time.
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, you hide it well, then.
You know, the thing is, we do set out kind of a loose work plan, so we know sort of issues that we're going to cover over the next little while. But we also like to leave it a bit open. Because, just as you know, there's always opportunities for things, you know, and you know, whether it be an interview or just a sort of a general topic. So you might see a few episodes that where it's just sort of more sort of talking about stuff as opposed to reviewing issues. Just because that's fun to do too. Sometimes, you know, it's we like to shake up the format every now and then. We do have sort of a format that we used often, but it's always nice to be able to shake it up a little bit, and it kind of keeps us going as well.
That's good.
Especially in times
when
we have to do a cover week, like where somebody's busy, or basically if Paul's not going to be there because he's the one that does all the work.
Yeah.
So if Paul's not going to be there, we have to do a fill-in issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you can do something different with that, and that's nice because it doesn't have to be it's time lost. You know, you can't really talk about current events because
right.
What's going to be current when that comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we can't record too far out, because then something will happen. Someone will have an interview somewhere, then people will go, "Why didn't you talk about that?" It's like,
yeah,
oh,
and it's funny because we around when Ella was born, we actually did record ahead quite a bit. And it was
just
funny
Paul
just
was
trying
a little
to catch
busy.
It was just funny trying to catch up to it, right?
Yeah.
And so that happens on occasion, and you also get there's one of my favorites, one that I find really funny is when we did the commentary on the subs episode of the cartoon series, and because we had that one, like that one sat for a good couple of months, and it was basically until we needed. We needed a filler, and it's like, okay, so now we can slot that one in. So it was like our inventory issue, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so at the time, you know, I think we recorded it just after the new 52 was announced, and we placed it, you know, a good few months after the books had started coming out. So it's kind of funny the speculation, and we'll always joke about it, where it's the I guess you probably enjoyed it all. Or maybe not. And so there's often that thing, but it's fun to do, you know, it's and we haven't in a while had where we've had something sort of just sitting in the can. What we've been doing recently is just, you know, on the odd week, we'll record two episodes just so we've got that buffer for when we need it. But it's nice to have an inventory issue in the drawer so that, if there's a week where we just can't all get together online, that we've got something that we can just slot in.
Yeah,
that's a nice thing.
I'm gonna do one. It'll be just all me. I'll just be talking to
you. I've talked about doing it, but I just never got to it.
And since Paul is actually the brains and the engineer behind this, it won't actually be recorded though, Scott. It'll just be.
Oh no, I'll figure out how to do that. I got other friends. Look at it.
Like me, I've got a friend.
It was the
No, Paul. Scotty has the friends. Scotty does
lots
have a posse. It's true.
But technical skills, not so much.
Oh, no. Wow, yeah.
But I have friends who do, so that works out well.
Okay, well, that's good.
Maybe I'll just have an episode with me and Kevin. We'll read an issue.
There you go.
Awesome.
An issue of Legion, right?
Wait, your friends read?
Maybe.
What is that? Well, it's the boy.
Yes, he's my son.
Somebody's talking to me.
Ah, the little Green Lantern.
Yes.
Yes.
The littlest Green Lantern ever.
So tonight's 200. In about, what, a few more weeks, you're going to have 4 years. Does that blow you away or what?
It does. You know, it's funny. We get that sort of every time we sit down to record lately. It's, you know, it has been like 197, guys.
Like,
you know,
wow.
There's just like we have that moment of awe as we as I set up the recording file and everything, and it's like 197, like holy cow.
Yeah, I know.
And I hadn't put together the 4 years thing until you mentioned it earlier, Caleb, and it was one of those things where, you know, I was thinking to myself, is it 3 years or is it, you know,
it's
and
four.
Yeah, and then I have to recognize that it was like we were a good 40-odd episodes in. You know, we were well into our first year when Ella was born.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know, it was, I think, episode 45. And, you know, because that's the, again, I was looking through and it's like, okay, yeah, because there was an example of where we were time lost for a while,
yeah.
You know, and it was funny because yeah, the episodes were kind of you know, several weeks out, and mm-hmm. So we did a little news catch up, mm-hmm. and so yeah,
because people notice if we're not, you know, on our game about stuff.
I imagine.
Sure.
I imagine.
Yeah, except, yeah. There's definitely a way to set.
That one is Kramer. So
Kramer knows all, sir. Kramer yes. knows all. He doesn't always speak when he's supposed to, but he.
Well, so far we haven't had anybody complain to us. Just we've had positive comments. So
well, it's not complaints. It's just the hey, you guys, you forgot to mention that so and so was at this show and they said blah blah blah. It's like
yeah.
Oh crap, no, yeah, we forgot. All right.
That's actually something important to mention. You know, the feedback that we've had on the show has been excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I think the one time that that I got a negative comment, and it wasn't really negative. I think it was just like the guy was saying how he could, you know, hear keyboards and hear this and hear that. And it's like part of it was because we had – it was an interview episode. And I don't – oh, it was the Tom Beerbohm episode. And because Tom's signal level was so low that I had to boost it. And so, of course, you boost one thing, it boosts everything else up.
Right.
And so it was just one of those unfortunate things. And, you know, and I emailed the guy back and said, hey, sorry you didn't enjoy. I explained sort of what it was. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hope that you were able to enjoy at least the content of the mm-hmm. interview. And he was, you know, and he emailed back and he's like, oh, no, I love the interview. He's like, it's just the, you know, the sound of the keyboard was driving me nuts. and some of that was just us going back and forth with a make sure we cover this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Chris, you he did respond to your email. It's absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think what else was I going to ask.
So speaking of the technical thing, I got to ask this. My God, almost every episode there's this little click, 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 like almost like someone's playing with a pen. What is that?
That's a very good question.
I have no idea.
Isn't that our podcast that does that?
No, that's just in my head, but not that. Okay. Not in this case.
Okay.
Most I can think is if Paul's doing stuff with his mouse, but
yeah.
I don't know, it's like sometimes we're clicking
Paul on his mouse alone.
We're looking something up and that kind of thing, and again, it's going to pick up just sort of through the air. Sometimes it's Skype echo, and
yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah,
Charlie running through the room.
Yeah, exactly.
My cat's going crazy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, that's it. That's exactly the sound that this message was talking about, though. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's us, you know, we're typing stuff back and forth, and. You know, we all try and turn off our you know, like our chat chimes and,
oh.
and you know,
Oh, that's a good idea.
You could always hear when we were passing comments back and forth, and someone actually pointed it out once. It's like, oh, I could hear the Skype thing go.
Yes.
And so the next episode, I was like, okay, everybody turn off your Skype sounds.
Awesome. Yeah, I never even thought of that, because I'm sure they heard it this one and all the other ones we've done.
Yeah. So you can go in and shut those off, and yeah. After someone pointed it out, it was like, oh, we got to get rid of that.
Yeah, seriously. That's embarrassing. Right. Oh my gosh.
So for our missing compatriot and Scott's cohort on Doom.
We better mention him. He'll be
Doom
angry.
Patrol.
Why? He didn't bother to show up. Why not?
Yeah, seriously, that hippie.
I'm here for Pete's sake.
I think he had a tree hugger. Pelting and trapping emergency had to deal with.
Okay.
He wanted dirt. He wanted dirt from you guys, man.
Oh, that's right.
What kind of dirt does he want?
I don't know. Oh, we covered some of it.
That Scott's really the gay one. I don't know. I mean, it's what is...
Scott is the gay one, sir.
or Paul, I don't know, is actually Republican. I don't know. I mean, something. It's a...
I don't know. I like to think that we're pretty open about foibles and such about everything as far as the show goes. So,
yeah.
There is no dirt, really, except for the post-show, really, which we don't record.
In my mind.
Unless Paul's recording it.
No, we do not record it.
There you go. Okay.
It's not like Nixon recording everything so he can kill us all later.
We stop recording the second you hear the end of that theme. There is the hitting stop, and then there's the and saved. And everyone kind of holds their breath until I say that.
Because we've had to re-record, once or twice?
Yeah, that's right.
It's painful. It's painful to re-record because the first time it sounds so new and fresh, and the second time you're like, what did I say the last time?
We had one where that happened. We had one where it happened in the midst of an interview. Where we lost some stuff, and as it turned out, the interviewee was like, "That's probably for the best." I said some things I maybe shouldn't have. And
who was that? Dirt.
Can't say.
There's some dirt.
Sorry. I believe we actually said it in the in the interview.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. It was when we had Scott Kolbusch on, and we lost a chunk of the episode. Mm-hmm. And then we even had one like recently in the last couple of months where we finished it and I saved and I opened the file up and it's like, we were missing the last 5 minutes. Mm. And so I just had to basically do it on my own. And then Scott said,
I heard that. Yeah. I just got through listening to that one actually.
Yeah. So it was one of the new issues.
Yeah.
And, it was just basically like everyone was already offline and I realized that we had lost it. And, so I had to just re-record the ending and that's just one of those, okay guys, here's what happened. So I'll finish it off.
I got to listen to that now. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was. It was like, it looks like we lost some stuff. Well, let's see. Scott said this and
that's why we're a substitute podcast.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Well, so, let's see.
Sometimes rolls that way. It's, I remember we did one where we actually, we all reconvened a couple of days later because we were doing some buffer stuff and we reconvened a couple of days later to do the last sort of half of it. And it's like, okay guys, here's where we left off. And that was a couple of years ago though.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when they filmed the shawarma scene at the end of Avengers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did fly him back in for something, didn't they? Yeah.
That should be the national meal of all comic book fans. Shawarma.
Yeah.
Shawarma and a Kono juice.
Like I'm going to find that down here.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
What? They don't have people of different skin colors in Mississippi?
Oh, well, they do. They're just some people.
They're just not allowed to own anything.
Yeah. Some people don't want to.
Shawarma stands for you. Okay.
Some people don't want to recognize them, so that's for sure.
Yeah. That's for bloody sure.
Yeah.
All right, I'm making a Kono juice tonight, and I will tell you all the recipe now.
Oh, okay.
So you can prepare tonight.
Don't spoil it. This is for our show.
But, well, you can make your Kono juice and have it for tonight when we do our drinking.
And this is not going to air until at least tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I'm not.
So, gonna, yeah,
yeah, so. It'll air about the same time as you guys.
So it's one part Grand Marnier,
mm-hmm.
okay.
one part vodka of your choice, two parts sweet and sour mix, and one part simple syrup. Mix it together, crush it up with a whole bunch of ice, and color it orange for Scotty.
Oh,
that's a Kono juice.
That sounds great.
What are you using for the orange?
This is a recipe. Oh, it's a recipe from the South. Of course, you're using orange marshmallows.
Oh, hair dye. Gross. No, just use orange food coloring to make it orange for the monkey.
Ah, okay. Sounds really nasty, but okay.
Well, Grand Marnier is an orange liqueur anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's true. And take a drink. Okay.
I am so going to be having a large one of those tonight. So.
Aaron every Friday.
Yes. So.
And Saturday and Sunday.
And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
I
know it's Thursday because the hangover has caught up to me.
I know that I take liberties with you guys on Facebook and stuff, and I very much appreciate that you endure that and you put up with it. So
hey,
as
you
well
put
as
up
on
with eye breaking balls too. So
yeah, seriously.
I don't even understand what you're talking about, but
I don't either.
Well, that's clear. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
No, I'm not talking in general, which is also true, but I'm talking specifically to Caleb, because he says things and I'm like, I think it's supposed to be funny, but I'm not. Wait a sec.
What did he say?
Is he serious?
What is that? What?
I'm never serious. It's good. Assume that and anything beyond that is out of the norm.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you did not mention how horribly backwards I had it when you were trying to get me on the show today. You were trying to tell me what time we were getting together to do it.
Time zone.
Oh my God. I thought it was going to be 7 p.m., and I'm like, it can't be 7 p.m. because I'm ready to record.
Well, yeah.
Scott was like going all Ultra Boy.
Time zone at a time? What's wrong with you?
Scott was a statue.
When he sent me the message, I thought he meant 7 Eastern time, which would have been 6 o'clock in the morning for me.
What? We've only been doing this thing for a year, Chris.
Yeah, I know. It's not always the same time, so. I just looked at it wrong.
He says 7 Pacific time. I'm like, what? That's like 4 in the morning here.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And then he's like, oh, I thought you were in the same time zone as Murray. I'm like, wait, I am in the same time zone as Murray. What does that mean? Does that mean 11? No, it means 10. 10 at night? After our show? No!
We might still be recording then.
Yeah, we will still probably be recording then.
Yes, we will be.
It's going to be a long one tonight, kids.
Oh,
get out
the
Viagra.
It's fun.
What are you guys doing tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Brian.
Try and take over the world. Okay, good.
I think we covered everything.
They just don't want to talk about what they're going to do.
Did we talk enough crap about Kramer yet?
But you know the thing.
I don't know if we recorded it at all, but yeah.
Yeah, the thing is,
we don't have a lot of plans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, as with any of our anniversary episodes, we tend to play it kind of loose and
guests coming on, as far as I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, one has canceled, but we'll work it out a little later on.
Canceled? How dare they?
I know. So we'll have a couple of people joining us that one who has been on before and one who hasn't.
Mystery guests. Sounds like fun. Looking forward to listening to it.
Yeah. So what can we do? What can we say to tease? Although the episode will already be out by the time someone sees us, and so they can readily see it. But there may be There may be some campaigning.
Oh, I see.
Really? Okay.
We haven't seen that. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen that online stuff yet. I mean, when is that supposed to
be? Mr. Levitz actually posted something to his Facebook about that is coming soon.
Yes, I just saw that myself.
Stay tuned for more developments.
Yes.
Colossal Boy.
If last year's election is any indication, it's going to be another Mon-El Brainy shoot 'em up. So.
Yeah. Well, that is if they're in the running.
That's what I mean. And I think, I mean, Paul said it before, I think it's fairly, it's a very good chance that Mon-El could be out of the running by the time it comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did, you know, I thought for sure it was going to be Mon-El that quit. I didn't think it would be Starboy, so.
Yeah, but that was just a symbolic quit.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, he'll be back as soon as they get off the Dominator's planet. If they can ever figure out why he can't walk again, I'm still not clear about that. So yeah.
He was fine before,
mm-hmm. And then he got the Professor X chair for the night.
And he was having mental issues, not
physical issues.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one that was confused by that. Why is he in a chair again?
Doesn't he have a flight ring? I mean, can't he?
I thought he was just exhausted, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, but it looks really funny when you're using your flight ring and your legs are just sort of dangling there. Like, it's just awkward looking.
Yeah, it's probably very awkward looking.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Like that dead Green Lantern that they had for a while.
Yeah, where he's just sort of fluttering around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm down with that. Okay.
I always took it as that Dream Girl was so happy to have him back that she took him home for some extra.
Oh, back, he's still from, yeah, that makes
some,
sense.
Went there. A little rough on him, yeah.
Yeah.
Nora, you tramp you.
Yeah, she is, isn't she?
Well, that's actually one of the things that wound up in that Legion Outpost was that Jim Shooter wrote that Starboy is the most hung of all the Legionnaires because Dream Girl chose him. So
I missed that one.
Dream Girl, who could have her choice, chose Starboy.
And you know, this says a lot about Shooter, because I remember Francis Manipul saying that he was told to draw Lightlass with the largest rack.
Yeah.
So,
which you think is really ironic, considering she joined the Legion as a replacement for her twin brother.
that's what makes it so funny.
That is funny.
Lightlass is now Power Girl. What? Okay.
Now, did he create Lightlass? Was that one of his ends? I don't remember.
No. That would have been back in the Edmund Hamilton days, because that was right after.
His first creations were Pharaoh Lad, Projectra, Karate Kid, Nemesis Kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when he came on, basically.
My Adventure Days foo is pretty weak, so.
Who else did he create? Shadowlass, Chemical King. We already had Lone Wolf, Timberwolf. So
yeah, that was an Ed Hamilton thing there. Yeah,
yep.
That was Hamilton and Fort.
So you created the Wanderers.
Yes.
And all those,
you know, and that was one that really surprised me, was that the Wanderers hadn't been around for a heck of a lot more.
Episode, then issue, and everyone's like, "Bring them back!" And they're always back in the background of these big meetings, but they never do anything ever.
So. Yeah, that one really surprised me.
The only thing I knew about them was that '90s series.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, they're bringing these guys, like, they must have done a bunch of business back in the day or whatever.
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
You know, it's much like that. You know, it's the same as Dev M. You know. You know, one issue, and then we don't see him again until
there's
darkness. Yeah,
but that's one of the things that Levitz was doing, though, was bringing that stuff from the past forward a little bit, so that there was a little connection between the eras. So.
And I think that's why we kind of take it for granted, you know, because he was a fan of that early era stuff. So a lot of that sort of enveloping continuity with the Legion came in after the fact, when you had a fan take over the writing of the book and figure out a way to bring that whole world together.
Yeah.
So is that right? Dev M had one appearance prior to Great Darkness? Oh my god.
He had like two, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's like Duplicate Boy had maybe two appearances.
Two,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
two or three.
Yeah.
Well, no, Heroes of Lalor appeared once, and then they appeared again so that their leader could go crazy.
Oh, that's right.
And so they could establish the relationship between Violet and Duplicate Boy. And then you didn't see them really again until the Levitz era, except for in the background of those big spreads, you know, so that's where you would see them.
Interesting.
So, and I think they're fun characters. I think it'd be fun to have them, you know, interacting with the Legion and stuff like that. But, you know, with all the Legionnaires, you don't really have a lot of time. So. Yeah.
They should just set up those, like, an annual softball game or something. Like the Avengers should
An LSH Wanderers Heroes of Lalor crossover. I mean,
yeah, like, just like that in the annual or whatever. I know, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I love those two annuals that one year with the West Coast Avengers and the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, I think that's
part of the softball game.
Yes, it was.
And they ended up having to play against the Games Master.
Right,
and
I remember that.
Oh, that was the Contest of the Champions 3 or something like that.
Yes.
It wasn't actually called that, but it was very similar in tone.
Mm-hmm.
Contest of the Champions, like when Shamrock won, but then she lost or something, they miscounted it in the final.
Yeah.
I've yet to read that. I've just heard about
stuff
that.
Stuff in comics, so it's all good.
I need to find that in the dollar bins or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, you know, that's one of those things that a lot of today's comics is missing out on, is just those little character moments where you can just have them just hanging out and stuff.
Yeah.
Playing softball, playing poker, doing what normal people do.
Well, remember
you
know,
Scott, you need to pick up Avengers Academy, at least the last couple issues with the, surprisingly, it's been one of the better parts of the Avengers X-Men thing. It's just character moments of all the younger X-Men and Avenger type characters. It's been pretty, on that level, exactly the kind of thing you're mentioning there.
You know, and that's one of the things that has really changed in the last bunch of years, is that there is very little attention paid to the secret identity of a character. They're so wrapped up in what they are doing that you never got any of the private life stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to see, you know, so-and-so go into work. But the thing is, that builds a lot of character. And the thing is, a lot of that stuff is what used to, that's where you build a supporting cast, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I really noticed, back when I remember thinking this at the time that they did the Misbegotten Bart Allen Flash book. Because if you look at those first six issues, all he ever did was in costume. You know, you had a couple of scenes where he interacted with Jay out of costume, but it that didn't make a difference. And it was one of the things when Guggenheim took over the book, that he started to, because he didn't know at the time that he was basically there to kill off the character. So he actually started building a bit of a supporting cast.
Yeah,
but it was too late
that.
By then.
Yeah, it was too late. Yeah,
and that's why
Snyder's Batman succeeds, because he doesn't just focus on Batman. He focuses on Bruce Wayne, and he even throws in the Dick Grayson, the Jason Todd, the Tim Drakes, Alfred, a lot of Commissioner Gordon. So
you've got this huge world that's been built over many years, and sort of the first instinct for a lot of people is to tear that down, rather than to do what they can to build it up, and so it's kind of we're making this better by I'll be done in just a minute.
Yes, cross our hearts.
I'm getting that too. So.
Anyway, that's fine. That's something that has been kind of lost, and that's something, you know, if you look at, we've been watching some of the Batman animated series over here.
Yes,
and that's something that they did very well, is to balance the two. And I think that it seems to be a lost art in comics these days. And you're right, Scott. That is, you know, having them hang out. You couldn't do the Teen Titans a day in, you know, like the Dear Mom and Dad story.
Yes. That's a great.
You can't do that if you don't build that world, because you don't earn that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they did a great job of earning those moments, and they had a bunch of issues like that, these sort of day-in-the-life type things, because they did pay attention to the characters' lives overall, and they built a huge supporting cast. And,
the wedding issue is the best example of that.
Oh, yeah.
No action. I mean, it was just the freaking wedding.
Yeah, and just characters interacting. And they earned that moment because they had spent, you know, 50-odd issues building up to it. And
that's why the North Star wedding issue did not work, because it was all about them being in costume. It was you know, a great moment. You know, I will not take away from that, but it did not work on anywhere near the level of those that stuff you're talking about there.
As opposed to the wedding of Donna Troy, which worked completely well.
Yeah, and then, exactly. You know, because again, the moment was earned. They built a private life for these characters, so you earn the right to spend some time in that private life. You know, same with Who is Donna Troy. That works because they have built built this interaction between the characters outside of the masks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's something that these, you know, it's all right there. These are lessons people can learn, there's a reason that was a great selling comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, that's, X-Men was doing that as well at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's when they moved away from it that it became something less.
Horrible.
And one thing I did want to mention for this episode is I am actually caught up, I think, on Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh, well, good. I think I'm one issue behind.
I borrowed them from Murray, and
I've read. Winning.
And it was the first couple of
the fans.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I doubt that, sir.
Yeah. Marvel's bottom line.
Marvel's bottom line. Mm-hmm. Disney.
To me, where they really kind of. It was working for me because there was very much a you could see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly made a quick turn where it's like, no, the Avengers are in the right.
I agree.
And that's where the wheels fell off for me. And I really enjoyed the first four issues, but to me, it with issue five was when there is no interaction between them that doesn't involve a case, a situation, a mm-hmm. a battle, and that's been the case with the Avengers for the last while, and with the X-Men for a while. So you know, all you can really do is the slugfest issues. But they were building to something interesting because there was some ambiguity, and there was there could be, and this is a failing that goes back to Civil War as well, is that they have to take a side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's fear of having some sort of ambiguity where it's like, hey, we don't have to take a side. We can, instead of presenting just both sides of the story and letting people, the old whose side are you on? Well, they made it pretty clearly which side you should be on, very, very quickly in Civil War. And I think that that's what they did with this. And, mm-hmm. and it's something that could survive and be much stronger if there was like, hey, I can see both sides of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they took the American political system approach and, you know, you have to be one. You can't be both.
If you're not with it, against us. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because that's what we know, sir. That's what we know.
Okay.
If you haven't read it, then you'll hate number 9. So.
I already do.
Okay,
well, about 5 seconds to read issue 8, so if that's the direction that's going.
Yeah.
I'm indignant for New Mutant. He posted about Avengers versus X-Men 9 and how a certain high-profile marriage of color has apparently gone wayside with nary a whisper.
Yes, exactly. That was... I haven't read it yet, but I heard about it.
It was a marriage of convenience, wasn't it? I mean, it was a political marriage, correct?
I have no idea. I thought it was a marriage to sell comics, personally.
That's what I meant by convenience.
They had actually worked in the Fantastic Four anyway. They had worked it into a sort of their actual real sort of relationship there, but I don't know. Yeah.
See, I always thought that character and another character, the Jungle Queen, Sheena, should have gotten together. That would have been far more controversial than the choice they made.
A little more blaxploitation.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
And the story would have been called Jungle Fever.
Oh, Jungle Fever, yeah.
You know it.
All right, well, we better wrap this up a little bit, so...
you too, because I actually do... I have errands to run. I gotta go.
I know, they're getting...
I have a toddler picnic to attend.
Yes.
Hey guys, thank you for making time this morning. I know it was early. You know, all joking aside, it was early for a couple of you. Mm-hmm. Late for a couple of us. That would be Paul and I. the rest of you go to hell.
Anyway.
Thank you again. It's been a great year for Chris and I, and we appreciate that you guys, kind of
congratulations.
Yes,
and
congratulations on a year, guys. That's a big deal. It is.
They have a podcast?
Yes, we do.
Oh, I thought we were just talking. Oh.
No.
Wait, this hasn't been recorded, has it?
Oh yeah, I got it all on recording.
Strike everything I said.
Thank you.
I think we were already planning on that. But congrats on your 200.
Yes, honestly, absolutely.
It makes me feel a little old to think that I've actually been listening to you guys for this long. So
yeah,
nice. Enjoyed it all.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be old, be a gay man over 25. That's old, baby.
How many is that in hetero years?
That's about 50, 55.
Okay, 70. Okay, well, I'm good for now. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wrapping this up. This is. You can send us emails, hate mail.
All right.
Comments if you want. It tells from the one box, like podcast. It tells from the onebox.com. So you got me all flustered now. Or you can on the Facebook page. We have a lot of good conversations going on there. Just do a little search for us, and that's about it for this week. And thanks for listening. 1 year in the can, and we're out. All right, thanks, guys.
In the can.
Thanks, guys. You're in the can.
Yeah, I know. It's an old movie thing, you know.
Perhaps you need a little
laxative or something.
There's
something you can take for that.
With.
It is a laptop. It is a laptop. That echoes something. Never mind.
Anyway.
Hey.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys go. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
I'll see you later tonight.
Thanks.
Hey.